Okay, so have you ever thought about like what would happen if a parent got sued by their own kid? I
Ooh.
mean, it sounds like something out of like a crazy soap opera or something, but
Right.
we're actually looking at a real case today, Hop v. Hop.
Wow.
This decision really gets into this interesting kind of like push and pull between the rights that parents have and the duties that we all have, like in society.
Yeah.
I think for anyone who's like thinking about going into law, this is a really good case to kind of wrap your head around because it shows you how courts figure out these like really tricky legal lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't just some like theoretical thing. You know, it has real implications for how we understand things like liability and, you know, the limits of those legal protections.
Totally.
In Hop, we have a kid who gets hurt by a nail gun cartridge that explodes.
Whoa,
And
wow.
it seems like it wasn't intentional or anything, but the father had put this cartridge in with like a bunch of regular nails.
Yeah.
And then he gave that container of nails and a hammer to his son.
Oh, no. So, like, I'm guessing what happened is the kid's mom was like, okay, this is not okay, and sued the dad for being negligent.
Yeah, you gotta, that's exactly what happened. And the big question that we're gonna try to figure out today is, can the dad use this thing called parental immunity to protect himself from this lawsuit?
Right.
And this is super important for all you future lawyers out there because it makes you think really hard about where personal responsibility starts and ends, even within a family.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So we're gonna like trace this case's journey through the courts.
Okay.
We'll look at the main legal ideas and try to understand the court's reasoning.
Yeah.
We'll also talk about what this decision means for this broader idea of like our duty not to hurt other people.
Okay, so where did this whole thing start?
Well, it all began in the trial court.
Okay.
And right away, the father's lawyers tried to stop the case from even going to trial. They
Interesting.
filed a motion for summary judgment.
Okay, now hold on for a sec for those of you listening who might not know what that means. Summary judgment is basically asking the court to like make the decision in your favor without having to go through a whole trial.
Exactly.
They're saying, hey, there's no real disagreement about the facts, and the law is clearly on our side, so just rule for us.
Yeah.
So in this case, the father was arguing that because of parental immunity, his son couldn't actually sue him.
Right.
And for all you aspiring lawyers out there, pay attention to how even these early stages of a case like summary judgment can really depend on these crucial legal differences.
Yeah, that's a great point to highlight.
So what did the trial court say?
Well, they didn't agree with the father.
Well,
They
really?
denied his motion for summary judgment. This
Interesting.
is a really big deal because it meant that the court thought there were some real questions about what actually happened and whether what the father did was actually negligent.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So they were like, hold on, we need to look into this more.
Exactly.
So the dad being told, no, he's not getting off that easy, he decides to appeal, right?
Yep. He takes it to the appellate division. He wasn't giving up on that parental immunity argument.
Okay, so what happened at the appellate division?
This is the interesting part. They sided against the father, too.
Oh, wow.
They upheld the trial court's decision to deny summary judgment.
So both courts were like, nope, this parental immunity thing you're trying to use doesn't apply here.
Exactly. And that's really important because it tells us that something about the specifics of this case made the courts think this might not be the kind of situation where parents are usually protected.
Right. So it sets the stage for this big legal fight the showdown between parental immunity and the idea that we all have a duty to be careful and not hurt other people.
You got it.
So can you break down those two concepts for us? How do these two ideas that seem to contradict each other even exist together in the legal system?
Okay, so parental immunity is this legal principle that basically says in a lot of situations, parents can't be sued by their own kids for certain things they do.
Right.
And the main reason for this is to give parents the freedom to raise their kids the way they think is best, without having to worry about being sued all the time for every little parenting decision.
Yeah, like you don't want parents second guessing every single thing they do because they're afraid of a lawsuit.
Exactly.
You
It's
got
about
that.
protecting that parent-child relationship.
Right.
Think about all the choices parents have to make every day about discipline guidance, setting boundaries. You know,
Yeah.
the law basically gives them some space to make those calls.
Right. It's like saying, we trust you to be the parent and we're not going to interfere with every decision you make.
Exactly. But then we have this other fundamental legal principle, which is the general duty of care. And this principle says that everyone in society has a responsibility to act reasonably and be careful so they don't cause harm to others.
Okay.
And this isn't just about family, it's about everyone we come into contact with.
So it's like this basic understanding that we're all in this together and we have to look out for each other. So in the Hop case, the court had to figure out, did what the dad do fall under that protected area of parental discretion? You know, making decisions about how to raise his kid,
right.
Or did his actions cross the line
right.
and violate that duty of care that he has to everyone, including his own son?
That's the million-dollar question.
So what was it about the specifics of this case that made them draw that line?
To really get how the court was thinking, we need to look at how New York law has dealt with parental immunity in the past.
Okay.
There's a case, Holoduc v. Spencer, that's really important here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with, like, the basic ruling of that case?
Yeah.
And how the Hop court said it was different?
Yeah. So Holoduc v. Spencer basically set a big precedent in New York, saying that kids generally can't sue their parents for negligent supervision.
Right.
So imagine a parent is, like, distracted for a minute and their little kid climbs on a chair or something and falls and gets hurt.
Yeah.
In most cases, like, that Holoduc would say the kid can't sue their parent for not paying attention.
Yeah.
Because the thinking is that deciding how much to supervise a kid is a core part of being a parent.
Exactly. The law gets that it wouldn't be practical or good for the parent-child relationship to judge every little supervision decision with the threat of a lawsuit.
Right. Like, we can't expect parents to have eyes on the back of their heads 24/7.
But as the Hop court pointed out, this situation with the exploding nail gun cartridge, it's not the same as just not watching your kid for a minute.
Right.
Giving a little kid what turned out to be an explosive, that's a whole different ballgame.
It wasn't just a whoops moment. It was giving the kids something that could really hurt them.
Exactly.
And this is where that idea of the duty to the world comes in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like a key part of how the court decided Hop.
Yeah.
There are some duties we have to everyone around us, no matter what our relationship is with them.
Okay.
And the Hop court really relied on this other case, Goodkoop v. Ward Pavement Corps, when they were making their decision.
Okay. And I remember that case said something pretty strong, right? Like, the duty not to negligently maintain explosives is a duty owed to all.
Exactly.
That's a powerful statement. So how does that quote help us understand the logic behind the Hop decision?
It shows this broader idea in the law that some activities are so risky and dangerous that everyone has a responsibility to handle them safely.
Right.
Not just parents or whatever. It's like a public obligation.
It's like saying, look, some things are just so dangerous that we all have to be extra careful with them no matter who we are.
Exactly. And the court in Hop is basically saying that messing around with explosives falls right into that category.
So the court was saying that it's not just about the father being a parent and making choices about how to raise his son.
Right.
It's about him maybe not following this basic safety rule that applies to anyone who handles explosives or things that turn out to be explosives.
Exactly.
So they saw him giving this explosive thing to his kid as way outside of what's considered reasonable for a parent.
Yeah, they were like, this isn't just a judgment call about how to be a parent. This is failing to meet a safety standard that everyone has to follow.
Right.
And they made sure to say that they weren't making up some new legal principle here.
Uh-huh.
They were just applying existing rules to the specific and pretty unusual facts of this case.
It's important to remember, though, that just because the court denied summary judgment, it doesn't automatically mean they decided the father was negligent.
Right.
It just means that a jury has to decide now, based on the facts, whether what the father did with that explosive cartridge was careless enough to be considered negligent under the law.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing both sides could make some pretty good arguments here, right? Like, the kid's lawyers would probably say that giving a young child something that turned out to be explosive is a clear example of being negligent.
That's a very strong argument.
And the father's defense team might say, hey, he didn't even know that explosive cartridge was mixed in with the regular nails.
Yeah.
Maybe he got those nails from someone else, or he had no reason to think something so dangerous was in there.
Exactly. And then the jury would have to look at all the evidence from both sides and decide if what the father did matches up with what a reasonable, careful person would have done in that situation.
So this is where it gets really interesting. You have to consider all the different perspectives and all the possible explanations.
Exactly. That's what makes these cases so fascinating.
So for everyone out there who's in law school, what are the big takeaways from Hop v. Hop? What should they keep in mind as they learn more about the law and especially about tort law and how it applies to parents?
The most important thing to remember is that there's a difference between duties that are specific to the parent-child relationship. Like those supervision duties we were talking about before.
Yeah.
And then there are these general duties that we all have to everyone else in society, like
right.
the duty to handle dangerous things safely.
Okay, so those are two different categories.
Yeah. Exactly. And parental immunity, as it works in New York law,
yeah.
it mainly protects parents when it comes to those parent-specific duties.
Okay.
It's meant to let parents make decisions about raising their kids without too much interference.
Uh-huh.
But this immunity doesn't automatically protect a parent from being held responsible if they do something that breaks a more general duty of care, a duty that they have to everyone, not just their kid.
Gotcha. And the examples in the case materials really help to illustrate that difference, right?
Absolutely.
Can you explain why leaving a loaded gun out on a table is treated differently by the law than a parent letting their teenager drive?
Sure, thanks. So if you leave a loaded gun where like a little kid could easily get to it,
yeah,
that's probably going to be seen as violating that general duty to handle dangerous weapons safely.
Makes sense.
That duty applies to anyone who might get hurt if the gun is used the wrong way, not just your own kids.
Right.
We as a society expect people to be responsible with guns and keep them locked up. But deciding when to let your teenager start driving, that's a decision a parent makes about their kid's maturity skills and whether they're ready for more independence.
Okay.
Even though there are legal rules about getting a driver's license, the basic decision of when a kid is ready to drive is usually seen as something that falls under parental discretion and supervision.
Yeah, I get that distinction. It helps to clarify things.
Good.
So HOP really shows us that the law holds parents accountable, not just as parents, but also as members of the community who have to follow the same rules as everyone else.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance.
Right.
The law recognizes that it's important for parents to have the freedom to raise their kids using their best judgment. But it also says that this freedom isn't unlimited.
Yeah.
Especially if what a parent does could cause serious harm because they didn't meet those basic safety standards that apply to everyone.
Right. So just to sum up the main point of Hoppy Hop, parental immunity doesn't automatically protect a parent from being sued if their actions go against a duty they have to the public, especially when those actions involve something dangerous like explosives.
Exactly. And this leads us to a really interesting question for everyone listening.
Uh-huh.
Given what the court said in Hop, where do you think the trickiest legal questions are going to come up when we have to decide if a parent's action is protected by parental discretion or if it breaks a duty they have to the whole world?
That's a good one.
It's clear that not every situation is going to be as obvious as this explosive cartridge example.
Yeah, that's a really thought-provoking point to end on.
I hope so.
Hopper really makes us think about the big picture of tort law and how we try to balance parental rights with the need to keep everyone safe and hold people accountable for their actions.
He does.
Well, thanks for diving into this complex case with me today.
My pleasure.
And like we mentioned earlier in our next deep dive, we're going to tackle this whole idea of sovereign immunity.
Oh, that's a big one.
It's going to be a wild ride. So, until then, keep thinking critically about the law.
Always.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you.